All right. If the video man is ready, the audio man is ready, the board members are ready, well fed. I come back into session. The regional board met in closed session on item 8E20 and directed staff to initiate settlement discussions with relevant parties in the matter of CAL FIRE and CAL FARM Bureau petitions challenging the non-federal timber waiver order number R1-2009-0038. And with that, we will take up the afternoon session of the workshop on the Klamath River TMDL. Recognize Vice Chair Hales.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to
crowd the mic.
Thank you. That's better. We've heard a lot of testimony from folks this morning with regard to dams in or dams out, and I just wanted to take a minute just to let folks know that the Regional Water Board is not taking any position on Klamath River dams in or Klamath River dams out. We are setting targets and proposing a plan to meet water quality standards and basin plan objectives, and that's what we're doing. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay. Thank you. Before the break in the morning session, I had offered the first slot in the public session to Dennis Specht. Unfortunately, he did have to leave this morning, but if he is here, I called his name. First speaker this afternoon, Tim Hemstreet, representing Pacific Corps, followed by Kristen Raymond Damian.
Thank you, Chairman and board members. My name is Tim Hemstreet, and I'm with Pacific Corps. I'm Pacific Corps' project manager for the Klamath Hydroelectric Project. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments today on the TMDL. The TMDL has significant implications for operation of the Klamath Hydro Project, as the TMDL will establish the regulatory framework for future water quality certification of the project. As you're aware, in November 2008, Pacific Corps, the United States, California, and the state of Oregon executed an agreement in principle that established a framework to arrive at a final settlement agreement to address the relicensing of the project and project future, which could include removal of the project facilities. Pacific Corps strongly supports these settlement efforts, but also must ensure that ongoing regulatory processes accurately and fairly represent water quality responsibilities of the project, which ultimately must be borne by Pacific Corps' customers in the local area as well as throughout Pacific Corps' six state service territory. Pacific Corps has actively cooperated in the Klamath River TMDL development process by providing the water quality models developed by its contractor, Water Course Engineering, as part of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission relicensing process. These models have been used as the foundation for the TMDL water quality model, although they've been substantially modified since they were first provided to the board and the EPA TMDL development team. Pacific Corps agreed in good faith that the models be used by the TMDL team in order to save the regional board, DEQ, and EPA substantial time and money. Pacific Corps has an ongoing interest in the development of these models and has continued to fund refinements to the models to ensure that these models represent the best scientific tools available to inform policy and management decisions related to the project. Pacific Corps provided its water quality model to the regional board with the understanding that refinements to the models would be developed cooperatively between the agency's consultant and Water Course Engineering in an open and transparent process. Unfortunately, despite Pacific Corps and Water Course's efforts, this collaboration has not occurred, and Pacific Corps' review of the water quality models relied upon to develop the draft TMDL has been limited to the public comment review period. Much of the modeling information has only recently been produced during this brief public comment period, which only met the minimum requirements of state law. Improved coordination between Pacific Corps and the regional board's modeling experts may have avoided the fatal modeling flaws identified in Pacific Corps' written comments and those that have been elucidated upon by the USGS. Pacific Corps' review of the modeling efforts performed to support the draft TMDL analysis and source allocations indicates that the modeling and analysis are flawed and cannot be relied upon to accurately represent natural conditions against which current impairments are assessed. Undocumented, unjustified, and questionable source code modifications to the model were made that render the model-based aspects of the TMDL model flawed. These problems with the model have also been identified by the USGS, the federal science arm of the federal government, in a comprehensive independent review of the TMDL model. This model review was performed at the request of the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. These code changes, in which a portion of the solar loading to the river is disregarded in the natural conditions case, which only applies in the natural conditions case and not in the existing condition, remain unexplained. This change to the model code results in predictions that natural condition temperatures are colder than would otherwise occur and increases the temperature load allocations assigned to the Klamath Hydroelectric Project. Given the dependence of algal growth rate reactions on temperature, the nutrient allocations determined from these flawed temperature predictions also render the nutrient load allocations in the draft TMDL flawed. This change to the model code is not a matter of one expert's opinion versus another, but represents a fundamental departure of the model from established scientific modeling practice. PacifiCorps requests that the Regional Board staff explain why these changes to the model were made and work swiftly to correct this flaw in the modeling to ensure the integrity of the TMDL analysis and resulting load allocations. PacifiCorps has had discussions with the USGS, and nor do we believe the USGS would characterize these model issues as minor or insignificant or agree that the TMDL process can proceed without these issues being addressed. PacifiCorps recommends that modelers involved in the review present their findings in an open and transparent manner in a public forum to the board members themselves. No modelers are here today, and so I think it's worth getting the input from the modelers themselves for you all to decide whether these issues are significant or not. Further, the upstream, the analysis and model performance metrics in the model do not allow uncertainty to be qualified or quantified. The models used are based on only a single model year, and additional model years are not even included, although sufficient data was available to extend the models to additional years. This omission severely limits the TMDL analysis because of a complete lack of accounting for interannual variability reflective of the dynamic hydrological and meteorological conditions in the Klamath Basin as well as in any other basin. Thus, the model analysis in the TMDL has been reduced simply to a curve-fitting exercise that results in uncertainty that the allocations accurately represent source contributions to water quality impairment or that the allocations will achieve the desired water quality objectives. The upstream boundary conditions rely on flawed assumptions. The draft TMDL indicates that the model's upstream boundary conditions were based on a scenario that assumes full compliance with Oregon's Upper Klamath Lake TMDL. However, upon review, it is clear that the model's upstream boundary conditions were set at levels that are even below the average loading conditions predicted in the Upper Klamath Lake TMDL when water quality conditions are fully compliant with that TMDL. These concentrations are possibly even below natural conditions. Given the likelihood that the Upper Klamath Lake TMDL will never be met, it is unreasonable and inappropriate to set the Klamath TMDL model boundary conditions to those water quality parameters, much less values that may be substantially below the average values predicted by DEQ, even if the Upper Klamath Lake TMDL were met. Oregon DEQ, in its comments on the draft TMDL, also points out that the temperature targets at state line used as boundary conditions for the draft TMDL modeling reflect temperatures that are considerably lower than the targets based on Oregon's water quality standards. Without attainment of temperature targets at state line, it is impossible for any downstream temperature targets to be achieved. Unachievable load allocations are inconsistent with the Clean Water Act. Furthermore, the TMDL does not connect implementation actions to reasonable progress on attaining upper basin milestones. Without such a connection, it is unreasonable for California sources to comply with strict load allocations if the benefits of those reductions will simply be overwhelmed by continuing water quality impairments from the upper basin. The draft TMDL's dissolved oxygen and nutrient-related allocations and targets represent a management decision that the Upper Klamath River system must be shifted to a water quality state that is not representative of documented natural conditions. The Upper Klamath River is naturally eutrophic, and Upper Klamath Lake is currently hyper-eutrophic. Yet the draft TMDL proposes less than eutrophic nutrient allocations and targets that would require a 90 to 98% reduction in total phosphorus and 65 to 75% reduction in total nitrogen at state line. Reductions of this magnitude are simply unachievable, and thus the entire TMDL is unachievable. The National Research Council has stated that even a 20% reduction in total phosphorus related to the Upper Klamath Lake TMDL is, quote, ambitious and potentially infeasible. Yet, reductions of 90 to 98% have been mandated by this TMDL. The draft TMDL also inappropriately assigns zero nutrient loading from reservoir bottom sediments and negative nutrient allocations to the Copco and Iron Gate reservoirs. The reservoirs are not a source of nutrients, but a net sink of nutrients, and TMDL load allocations less than zero are inconsistent with the Clean Water Act. While Mr. Lehman stated that the TMDL cannot require dam removal is the only compliance mechanism available to attain these load allocations. PacifiCorps' extensive written comments on the TMDL identify serious flaws in the analysis and development of the TMDL. As such, the draft TMDL requires substantial corrections and revision. PacifiCorps respectfully requests that the Regional Board work to address these significant issues with the TMDL in an open and transparent manner through continuing workshops and meetings such as this so that all these issues can be aired in a public forum. Given the significant public and private resources that will be expended to meet TMDL requirements, the integrity of the draft TMDL is of utmost importance. While the consent decree has established a deadline for completion of the Klamath River TMDL, compliance with the consent decree through the adoption of a significantly flawed TMDL will simply trade one legal process for another. Thank you very much.
Okay. And Mr. Hemstreet, you have that in written form. Do we have a copy of that?
I can make them available in written form.
I mean, it's fairly technical and detailed analysis.
Yes.
Appreciate. Are you a modeler?
I'm not, and I don't think there are any modelers in this room. So I guess with that in mind, I think it's important that we have a modeling workshop to air the issues with the model that have been uncovered by the USGS as well as PacifiCorps' consultants.
And the PacifiCorps have a modeler?
Yes.
And who is that?
Dr. Mike Diaz of Watercourse Engineering is our water quality modeler.
And you had mentioned in your remarks that PacifiCorps had discussions with USGS. At what level or what do those constitute?
We reviewed upon completion of a USGS's review of the TMDL model, which were submitted with the Bureau's public comments. We had a meeting on what those comments were and what they entailed and the significance of those findings from the USGS and how they related to our own findings.
And I read through their review, 42 pages, I think it was. Are you confirming their analysis? Are you going beyond it? Are you questioning any of their...
We're confirming much of what they found. They found some things that were different from what we found. We found some things that were different from what they found. And a lot of these modeling issues were only able to be discovered by a line by line, looking through the code and seeing exactly what changes have been made over the past few years.
And when you say that the source source allocations don't work, paraphrasing, in all cases or in certain situations, certain geographic locations?
We found that this model change, particularly on the solar radiation, affects the Keno Reach as well as all reaches that are impacted, or at least the project reaches, including the reservoirs.
Mr. Norton?
Tim, did you say that you see the model differences that PacifiCorps has identified as fatal flaws?
Yes.
That you see that the allocations as they've been worked through this model, and am I correct, too, that this model was developed by Mike Diaz, correct?
He assembled a model that's based on modeling components that are somewhat standard modeling components and then have been refined by Dr. Diaz and his group.
And with intent and openness, that model was used by our staff and contractors that helped with the development of this model. There were changes with it, but my understanding, and it's limited, I grant it, from the USGS review, that they were not necessarily fatal flaws. So are you differing with USGS on that score?
I don't know what GS has said about that. I wouldn't characterize certainly our discussions with them. They were not flaws that could be overlooked or that were simply minor issues that could be, I guess, moved on with. I mean, the fact of the matter is that these changes to the code impact the natural condition scenario. Load allocations are set on anything above natural conditions. So if the natural condition scenario is incorrect, then all the load allocations based upon that are incorrect.
And I believe it's correct, too, that the model that was used, the PacifiCorps model that was used, was specifically the reaches of the dam and in that area. That model was not used all the way through this basin as a model. There were many different pieces and parts of models used on a hydrodynamic modeling of this system. So are you characterizing then that the fatal flaw is in the model that was modeling that was done using the watercourse engineering model, the PacifiCorps model only, or are you contending that these issues that you have or PacifiCorps has is throughout the system?
We've certainly looked to focus our efforts on the impacts to PacifiCorps load allocations, so I would say not being a modeler and not understanding, not having the details of all of the modeling components and different models that have been used, certainly they impact PacifiCorps load allocations and those from Keno, from Link River, down to Iron Gate. Beyond that, I couldn't say.
Could I also reiterate from what Board Member Hale said, that we are neutral, as far as I know, and the TMDL is neutral on whether these dams stay or go. You said that, I'm not going to quote you, but that the outcome of the model as you see it now leaves you no other choice but to remove the dams. Is that a fair characterization?
That's correct. There's no compliance mechanism other than dam removal identified in the TMDL or feasible.
But recognizing that our TMDL, the regional board TMDL, is dam neutral at this point, whether the outcome of this TMDL forces or makes it, not forces is the wrong word, the outcome of the decision making from that TMDL outcome is that it becomes infeasible for you to comply as a corporation with the operation of those dams. That decision's fully yours. I just want to make sure that in the public realm here that this isn't, we're not forcing these dams to come out. And I think that's been said here a couple times today, and I think that's erroneous in my mind.
Well, I guess I would respectfully disagree. If the load allocations are set that they're unachievable for anybody to obtain, then the only outcome can be dam removal. So if there were other fixes available, then I would say they may be expensive fixes, but they may be fixes. Those aren't even available to the project. So it's not a matter of it's only economic to run the project with dams out, or the only economic option is dams out. The only compliance mechanism is dam removal. There's no identified feasible technologies, treatment technologies, temperature reduction devices that would allow the project to stay in place.
And that's an outcome based on an analysis of the effects of these dams on the river. It's not and I just want to make that point, it's not an outcome going into this TMDL, that this TMDL is forcing these dams to come out.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't.
It may just be a natural outcome of the fact that these dams are in a warm water river with nutrient loading coming out of Upper Klamath, and they have an effect on that warm water body with nutrients, and it causes issues that cause impairment. And be that as it may, the decision ultimately is going to be made by others and not the TMDL to take these dams out. Chairman Anderson, I would ask that at some point along this discussion today that at least maybe staff come back and addresses, they're not modelers either, I take it, but maybe address this in some point about what we do with this model. And I would just raise that point and reserve that right now, that we need to have some type of discussion that at least addresses this in a roundabout way.
And we would highly encourage that discussion to take place.
Thanks for your comments.
Yeah, not Chair's intent then would be to have staff during the concluding remarks or before the board direction to come back to this issue and give us another run at it. I would ask two questions, Mr. Hemstreet, in terms of, you said a workshop with modelers. Do you have modelers in mind, and do you have,
the
quantity? How many modelers can you get into one room and come up with a single solution?
I'm concerned that we've heard a lot of statements today that these issues that have been identified with the model are non-issues. They're minor. They can be fixed. But I'm not a modeler. There's no modelers in this room to tell us whether they are significant or not, or what impact they have on the allocations. So with that in mind, I think it's imperative that we actually hear from the modelers themselves, the people that review the model, Stuart Rounds of the U.S. Geological Survey, Mike Diaz, our consultant who first put together these models, and hear what these issues are yourselves so that you can judge whether the scientific basis of the TMDL is there or not.
Your company
has as well as Tetra Tech, of course, who has been running the modeling for EPA and the regional board.
Your company has a modeler. Have you run a model that shows that you can achieve compliance with the dams in?
No. So we've run these models with and without these changes that were made and have identified that these changes to the model have significant impacts on the load allocations to the project. If these changes weren't there, it may be possible for compliance to be obtained without removing the project. But that's nothing that we've been able to run down at this point, given the short availability we've had to review these models.
So you've identified things that need to be fixed, but you haven't fixed them and run a model, had a model run, as I understand
it. We have done a few runs to see what the impacts would be without these changes to the models.
Have you had a model run with these changes that you're recommending?
Have we had model runs with the changes?
The changes you're recommending, the fixes.
We have run a few runs showing if these fixes weren't in place, or if these model code changes weren't there, what the impacts to the load allocations would be. And they'd be significantly lower.
And I missed that. So
they would be significantly different than the load allocations that are in the TMDL right now.
All right. Okay. Any other board members' comments? We thank you.
Thank you.
Kristen Raymond Damian, followed by